Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us for the Friday Roundup. I'm Brandon Waltons, Managing Editor of Texas Scorecard, sitting here with Michael Quinn Sullivan, the publisher, on this day. As we remember, you know, the Battle of Gonzales, very, very appropriate, really time to be remembering it today.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I mean, we all like to remember the Battle of Gonzales, but of course, you know, what happened yesterday in 1835, just as significant, you know, October 2nd, of course, is when the battle happened.
Yeah.
But the day before, so now everyone in Gonzales said, the Mexicans are coming. They're armed. They're better trained. There'll be a lot of them. But we're not going to let them take our cannon. And that, you know, that sense of resolve, you know, they gathered, they voted, and they made their decision.
Yeah.
And then they stuck by it. You know, that's what self-governance is all about. That's what liberty is all about, is making the decision and then sticking with it. And they did. And we have Texas today because of them.
Yeah, and a lot to learn and a lot to apply today, even to stuff happening right now, based off of those lessons. One of the big stories, the biggest story, I think, on the website at TexasScorecard.com this week was some pretty shocking news. So to back it up a little bit, we've known for years, right, Democrats always tell you that mail ballot fraud, voting fraud, election fraud, it doesn't happen. It's a myth. There's no cases of it.
Except that when they want to say it happens because it stops things like voter ID and other things.
Exactly. Well, pretty shocking affidavits filed this week in the Texas Supreme Court. You've got two people, one a former Houston police officer, and another a former FBI agent, both alleging in these affidavits filed again with the Texas Supreme Court that they have seen that there is a massive, and I mean massive, illegal ballot harvesting scheme underway being planned for Harris County, of course, the most populous county in Texas, that could see as many as 700,000 fraudulent ballots being included. You know, that's enough to shift an election statewide, especially in a county like Harris County, the biggest one.
And let's be clear, these aren't two guys just, you know, sitting on my couch, I heard somebody else. You know, they have, according to their affidavits, they have testimony, they have video evidence that they have seen it with their own eyes. This is not two dudes repeating hearsay. Mm-hmm. These are fellows who have conducted investigations, and you read their affidavits. They read a whole lot like the affidavits of law enforcement officers, you know, detailing an arrest, all those kind of things. We haven't seen the videotaped evidence, but the fact that this has been filed with the with the Texas Supreme Court is pretty significant, and goes to the challenges that exist in this election cycle if we're not careful.
Yeah, and that was one of those topics that was talked about for a little bit during the debate, the presidential debate. I know a few of y'all probably caught that, a little bit of it, maybe as much as you could watch earlier this week. But election fraud, I mean, look, that's truly going to be a big, big issue that we're going to see in November. And, I think it's important to remember, you know, grassroots activists in the Republican Party of Texas, at least, made it pretty clear earlier this summer when they made election integrity the number one legislative priority for the Republican Party of Texas heading into this next legislative session. So I think you see a lot of folks in the grassroots that really, really want to see the state legislature actually do something, actually work to protect these ballots. I think it's important to note, by the way, when we talk about who's alleged to be involved in this big scheme in Harris County, again, it's not just, you know, kind of some rogue employees.
Some Democrat or something, yeah.
Yeah. It's you've actually got some Democrat elected officials, people like Boris Miles, who's in the Texas Senate, people like Ronnie Ellis, who is now a county commissioner there, and even Dallas Jones, who's Joe Biden's presidential Texas political director for Joe Biden's presidential campaign. You know, these are some big, big names, and so I think this is going to be something to watch.
It has been very telling to me that, again, you have affidavits filed with the Supreme Court of Texas, which, you know, there are penalties that go along with lying. You're not, this is not a PR fest. And the Supreme Court of Texas has been pretty clear about their attitude towards people who manipulate their filing system and other things. It's been fascinating how many in the Texas and even national media have just kind of ignored this, pretend like it had been, like, and we know why. It doesn't fit with the narrative. It doesn't fit with the, oh, there's no, everyone rush to do ballot by mail, even if you're breaking the law. A friend of mine posted this on social media recently. I thought it was a great thought experiment, Brandon. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, try this out. Go withdraw $500 in cash from your bank account, put it in an envelope, mm-hmm. and mail it to yourself from your own mailbox. If you're unwilling to do that, you probably shouldn't trust putting your ballot in the mail unless you just absolutely have no other choice.
Wow, well, that's a pretty, I think that's a pretty good comparison. You know, speaking of elections, there was a pretty interesting election this week in part of the state. You had a special election for Senate District 30. Now, this is a seat up there in the Texas Senate up in North Texas, and that's being vacated by State Senator Pat Fallon, who's going to be likely moving to Congress. But this saw, you had five or six candidates in this race. You know, two of the big people were that will now be on the runoff. It was State Representative Drew Springer, who's you know, he's been in the legislature, he's a known commodity. But then you've also got political newcomer Shelley Luther. You, of course, remember her. She was the Dallas salon owner who was jailed after she opened her salon in violation of some of those local and statewide shutdown orders. And, you know, the numbers coming in, the final numbers coming in, and it took a little bit, but Luther actually pulling out a first-place victory in that race, edging out Springer, neither of them gaining above 50% because of the other candidates in the race. But, you know, I think even if you don't live in that district, and, you know, most Texans obviously don't, I think there's a pretty big lesson or maybe a shift going on here when you consider that you know, the establishment guy, right? The guy who's been in there and this election was rushed in was barely able to get 32 or 33% of the vote in an area that he's represented actually for quite a while.
By all conventional wisdom, Drew Springer should have, look, you know, to your point, there were six people in the race, one Democrat, five Republicans, a very Republican senatorial district. So anyone could be excused for not winning outright. But because he's an incumbent state representative endorsed by almost all of the Republican state representatives,
right,
endorsed by local officials, endorsed by almost everyone who does endorsements in the in kind of the establishment sphere, he should have gotten 40, 45, at least been in the significant lead. Because when you've got six people in a race, it's hard for anyone to, you know, to win outright. But the fact that he came in a very close, you know, we're talking less than, what, 200 votes? Less than
100
votes.
About that.
But still, the fact that he came in second should say something to all of those incumbent officials, should say something about everyone in the Republican establishment that maybe voters really are looking for something besides establishment political pablum. And Shelley Luther certainly isn't that. And you can look at some of the other folks, some of the folks who, you know, set aside the Democrat. Now look at the other three Republicans who were running, including the mayor of Denton. Probably most people wouldn't think that's exactly the, you know, a city mayor, the hotbed of conservatism. But even he was talking about the need for, you know, substantial reform out of state government, the way the state's doing its business. And regardless of what happens, I don't think the runoff election's been called yet, but no matter what even happens there, this should serve as a wake-up call to everyone serving in elected office right now.
Absolutely. I mean, the circumstances, again, I mean, this was an election that was rushed. I mean, literally in a matter, it was called, and filing deadline was a week after that, and you know, early voting started just two or three weeks after that. One that was really, really rushed, and I think Shelley Luther said, on election night, said Abbott gave us 30 days and thought we would get beat. You give us two more months and see what happens. And I know a lot of folks will be watching that to see what happens. But for right now, thank you for joining us on the Friday Roundup. I'm Brandon Waltons. Have a great weekend. Thank you for listening to this week's Friday Roundup from Texas Scorecard. Remember, you can head to the Empower Texans Facebook page at 11 a.m. every Friday to watch the show live and get your questions in.